Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 4th of March. I'm your host, Paul White. It is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 time. We are nearing the end of this chapter, and I've been working through it for quite some time now. It's you've heard me say this before, but chalk this up as one of the more important chapters in the New Testament. Absolutely. One of the most eye-opening, one of the most crucial to theological understanding of the New Covenant, and one of the important swing chapters that takes us away from the Mosaic and the ideas of the Mosaic and into the ideas of the New. We get a lot of terminology from this chapter. It's how we find the biblical right to call the law the ministry of death and the ministry of condemnation. It's where we get a New Testament commentator telling us something of Torah that we never saw before, that the veil was on Moses' face, not because it'll burn your eyes out if you see the face of God, but because the glory was departing. And that's Paul's interpretation. It's his understanding of that. In verse 15, he says, to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. And he's talking about all of those, particularly the children of Israel, but because that's who was reading the Torah. But he doesn't specify that. He just says, until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. So the there is most immediately anyone reading the Old Testament, but in the greater context, it's Israel. And so we're heading towards a crucial event on the timeline of the world of this time. That's the fall of the temple in AD 70. That's the end of the world event, the end of the age event that the New Testament writers seem to write about over and over again. It's the coming in the clouds of judgment event that Jesus spoke about in the Gospels. It's the culmination of the Olivet Discourse. It's what Revelation was prophesying was on the way. And I bring all of that up because that would be the death blow to this veil system. The veil still stood there as long as there was a temple there. But from a spiritual standpoint, this still happens today when people read the Old Testament without looking through the lens of Christ. Now, granted, that's a secondary application based upon the primary audience and the timing of this letter, but the secondary application still applies. In fact, it's the only one that applies because you and I aren't the original children of Israel. And we didn't read the Torah. We weren't sitting there watching Moses come down the mountain. So you have the historic audience, which was Israel at Sinai. You had the current audience, which is the Corinthian church, particularly the Jews within the church. And you have the future audience, us, those of us who have come to Christ, who have been freed from the veils. And veils are to cover up what people can see. And it's the glory that fades. And so I think a lot of what Paul is talking about is that you and I have been freed from the masks and the coverings. The original covering in the Bible is the Garden of Eden, where Adam eats from the tree and then covers himself in fig leaves. He's not just hiding himself from God, he's hiding himself from himself. He hides from himself with the fig leaves. He hides from God in the bushes. And we do the same thing in some respects when we read the law and we put on a performance in the areas that we're strong. Because here's what really happens is when you give people performance standards, they will accent the ones they're really strong at and they will hide from the ones they're really weak at. Or we'll do a sort of reverse psychology. We'll rail against the ones we're poor at. And I've seen that happen in ministry a lot, where a lot of preachers, if you find a ministry that hammers away at sin, locate the particular sin they preach on the most, and you've probably just found their closet sin. The reason for that is because they're ministering through the lens of Moses. And therefore, they have to put a veil over their face to show you that the glory fades in that particular area. They're not very good at it. And that's the nature of the law. That's the nature of this veil performance standard. That's why we got to get away from it. So 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And so this is the turning to Christ. When one turns, this, and again, contextually, in their day, you leave Judaism and the temple sacrificial system and you turn to Christ, the veil's gone. In our day, it's this. I think it's the same message. Is so many people, and even unbelievers, you have a system of props, stuff you put up to sort of present yourself as something. And yet, when you come to Christ, you realize you didn't need any of that. That's the come out of the bushes and let's have a relationship. You know, stop hiding behind an apron of figs. Verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And you and I always, well, I say you, I mean me. I don't know what you heard. I always heard this verse quoted as a worship verse. Until I studied this for myself, I thought that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty meant was that if you get into the presence of God with other believers and the Holy Spirit shows up, then there'll be freedom in your worship. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, then it'll be dead. There'll be bondage in your worship. So, and that's why we prayed, for lack of a better term, we tried to pray in the Holy Spirit because we needed the Spirit of the Lord there. Otherwise, we wouldn't have liberty. And so we took any lull in the service where you didn't feel something, emotionally connect to something, as evidence that the Spirit of the Lord had left the room, or the Spirit of the Lord was not moving, or the Spirit of the Lord was offended, or the Spirit was grieved, or the Spirit had been quenched. These are just using New Testament terms. We took those lulls to be evidences of that. So then you had to figure out what offended him, what grieved him, what quenched him. Stop doing that. Do the opposite. Get him to come back. When he comes back, there'll be liberty. And so then anytime anyone responded to anything positively, we could assume it was the Holy Spirit that had opened it up. So if you got to an invitation, you invited people to come to the altar, somebody walks the aisle, gives their heart to Christ, you would say, well, that's because the Spirit of the Lord worked and gave them the liberty to do so. If the Spirit of the Lord didn't work, they wouldn't have the liberty. I say all of that to tell you that contextually, none of that has anything to do with that verse. Contextually, and you and I have been studying it together for days, contextually, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. It's liberty from veils. It's liberty from the veil of performance. The veil of performance keeps you from living. When the Holy Spirit moves, He's the Spirit, He's the ministry of righteousness. When that happens, you don't have to put a veil on anymore. You are at liberty. We'll talk about this a little more along with 18 tomorrow, and we'll introduce Long Form Friday, which is coming up in a couple days. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless.